I want to talk to you. I'm going to do like a mini series today and next Sunday. And I want to talk to you about an overcoming spirit. What it is to have a spirit that is able to overcome things. And I've seen people overcome the most insurmountable, inconceivable heartaches of life. I've seen people overcome, you know, having to bury their child. I've seen people overcome divorce and betrayal and just incredible situations. People who've lost loved ones through someone murdering them. And then I've seen people find it in their heart to actually forgive that person. And I'm amazed by the strength of a human spirit, aren't you? And yet at the same time, I'm amazed at how fickle some people can be, how oversensitive, and how people can just cave in. And it got me thinking, you know, we need to make sure that we've got a spirit that overcomes. I think about my own brother, Dennis, who lives in New Zealand. He's the oldest one in the Kelly clan. And, you know, he's always the wise, the mature, the stable, the predictable. You know, the oldest gets the, you know, the burden of leadership in any given family. We had, you know, five kids, you know, all 1 year apart. And, you know, my mum and dad, and I was number three. I had two older brothers and two younger sisters. And, you know, I'm right there in the middle. And Dennis was always the good, the mature, the sane, the sensible. And I remember just watching my brother navigate his wife being diagnosed with cancer, and for 12 years fought the good fight of faith with her and for her, until she ultimately, her body just behaved badly and the cancer got the better of her and she went to be with the Lord. But I watched my brother just walk through that with grace and dignity, and his faith in God was never shaken. Actually, the exact opposite happened. His faith in God was deepened. And I'm thinking that was incredible. Then through the trauma of that and just the heartache of that, their daughter, Rachel, a young teenage girl, heartbroken at the loss of her mother. And for 12 years, all she'd ever known was her mom fighting cancer. And she finally had just emotionally had given in, and she found herself depressed and suicidal and actually acted on suicidal thoughts and found herself in and out of a psychiatric hospitals and institutions. And my brother ringing me, say, "Steve, I've lost my wife and I almost lost my daughter." He got a phone call because she acted on those thoughts. And I remember watching him now navigate all of that and the strength of a spirit within a person to overcome. Just recently, you know, now my niece, her name's Rachel, she's overcome those challenges. And a friend of mine who runs a women's program in New Zealand had her admit it, and it wasn't easy. It was a journey. But today she's helping other young girls fight for their lives. And I'm thinking there's just something about the strength of a spirit that overcomes. And just recently at Life Conference, Paul DeYoung, they actually had at the women's conference honored my brother at a women's conference for the example that he gave of being a dad who lost his wife and almost lost his daughter and how he hung on to God. And they found out that Dennis wanted to attend our son's wedding, Sam and Laurie, and they've written the plane tickets and honored him publicly, saying thank you for having a spirit that teaches us how to trust in God. Can I tell you, there's something powerful about a human spirit when it's connected to God. Look what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. It says here, "The good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil things." I know I've heard it said by a lot of people, "Oh, that person, I know they robbed the bank. I know they shouldn't have done that, but they've got a good heart." Well, here Jesus says you cannot separate a person's thoughts or actions from their heart. The good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. The evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil things. Do you know what Jesus is saying? If it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. The good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. And I started thinking about, you know, sometimes we do that. We give people this ability to find an out. Well, you know, they got a good heart. Jesus is saying, come on, no. What is coming out of you is what is in you. So I thought about this overcoming spirit. Here's a few things I've got. Number one, it's your spirit that actually is what keeps you strong. Look at the Bible says, Proverbs 18 verse 14, The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. I want you to think about that. I think, again, I'm thinking about my own personal life, about my own mother and father. And I watched my mother and my dad fight against cancer. You know, and my dad, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. I believe that's true, not just for sickness. I believe it's your spirit is what keeps you strong. I believe it's what gives you the ability to keep on fighting. Twice, you know this, I've flown home to attend my father's funeral where I was told by the doctors in Australia he wouldn't make it. He wouldn't even be alive when I got back to Australia. And when I get there twice, he's sitting up in bed, and actually the second time he was eating a boiled egg. And I'd flown over to attend his funeral. I said to my dad, I said, look, this is twice I've flown over now. If you're not dead the next time I come, I'm going to kill you myself. This is too much. And I remember he said to me, just smile, because he was an alcoholic. He was a gambler before he was a Christian. And he grew up in church life, but he didn't really know the Lord. And I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. And, you know, my dad saw my mother fight the fight of cancer, and she was healed at a younger age and lived on a long, fruitful, productive life, helping people get free of addictions. My mom and dad did it together. When my mom went to be with the Lord, my dad kept on fighting the good fight. He was old, he was frail, he was fragile, he was in a bit of a wheelchair, he didn't have the strength to walk as much as he would have liked to have walked. He had an oxygen bottle with a tube up his nose just to give him breath in his lungs to help him get a normal amount of air. But I watched my dad two or three nights a week, even in that condition, running regeneration programs like we have here. My mother started our regeneration program that we have here. There's regeneration programs in Siberia that my mother and father started, in Hillsong Church Australia and all the Hillsong churches around the world that have regenerations. My mom, my dad started those programs. It's amazing. And the doctor kept saying, he's not going to be alive. He's not going to make it. My dad said, I could hear them talk. I didn't have the ability or the strength to say, no, I'm going to live. He goes, I wanted to go be with your mother, but something inside of me said, God, I made you a promise. As long as there's breath in me, I'm going to help people get free of addictions. And there's still too many people that I know that aren't free of their addictions. You see, the spirit of a man sustains you in sickness. It will keep you strong. Even when you're at your worst, your spirit shows up and brings out your best, who you really are, in Jesus' name. Amen. There may be a lot of bad stuff going on around you, but don't let it get in you. Amen. Secondly, being a Christian gives you an overcoming spirit. You see, the spirit of a man is what makes you strong. But what is it that the Spirit is? The Bible says, look at this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Anybody here joined to the Lord? Let me try that again. Seaboard Row, let me see if I can get some excitement down here. Anybody here joined to the Lord? Okay. If you're joined to the Lord, the Bible says you are, listen to it, one spirit with him. Being a Christian, being joined to the Lord, you have the same spirit as God. You have the spirit of God in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your spirit is what makes you strong, but the fact that you're a Christian, come on, being a Christian has given you an overcoming spirit. You've got the ability to rise up. You get knocked down, you get back up again. Amen. You get knocked down, you're either up or you're getting up. Come on. They put Jesus on a cross. They killed him, put him in a grave. Up from the grave he arose. You have an overcoming spirit in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Number three, listen to this one. God reveals things to us through his spirit. I love this verse. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know, the Bible, if you just stop there, you could say, well, no one's got a clue what God's going to do. If you just stopped and read that, you go, no one's got a clue. I got no idea. I guess we'll just live out that Doris Day kind of theology. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours, you see. Que sera, sera. Who would have ever have known the Lord could do that? Who would have ever have known the Lord would do that? Well, if you just stop there, I can understand you thinking that. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. If eye hasn't seen it, if no one's seen it, if ear has not heard, I mean, if you've heard it and you've seen it, you can believe for it, but you've never heard it, you've never seen it, well, you don't know what it is you can believe for. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. Look at the Bible says now. I'm putting these on upside down. I'm thinking, why aren't these glasses working? I need glasses to put on my glasses. Praise God. You should live in this mind. It's a scary world. It says, nor has it entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows, the things of a man, except by the Spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, no one can know the things of God except of the Spirit of God. In other words, but God has revealed, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, we ought not to be people saying, who would have thought the Lord could have done that? We can say, we saw it coming. We heard about it. It entered my heart because God has revealed to me that which he has for me and the good things that he's prepared for me. We ought not be surprised by the goodness of God. I saw it coming. I mean, Job had the other thing going on. The thing I feared the most came upon me. The thing that I greatly feared came unto me. Job knew that stuff was coming. Well, that's true in the negative. Then it's also true in the positive. Come on. God reveals things to us through the Spirit. Come on. How many can honestly say there's been times when, you know, something happened and you just went, you know what? This is God. And it's like it was already in your heart that the Lord would do that. You know, you're believing God for a spouse. You're believing God for a partner. It'll come. The right person, the person, you know, for your business, whatever it is that you feel the Lord's called you, this was in my heart. I saw this. I heard about this. There was whisperings in my ear. The deep things of God calls to the deep things of man. This sits well. This resonates. Look at the Bible says this. One of my favorite verses when it talks about the spirit of a man. It says in John chapter 13, verse 21, this is Jesus, and it's talking about, you know, before the betrayal, before the crucifixion, before, you know, the Last Supper, and, you know, before the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows that he's about to endure the most painful death known to mankind. He knows he's about to get betrayed. He knows he's going to get beaten and punched and persecuted and mocked, and he knows Peter's going to deny him. He knows it's all going to happen. And look what the Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 21. And after he said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, very truly, I tell you that one of you is going to betray me. In other words, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. He knew that was going to happen. And I believe that God actually, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that which God has prepared for those who love him. God will give you a forewarning. God will give you a forward indication. There'll be something inside of you that even if disaster and calamity comes, there's something inside of you that says, I can overcome this. God's with me. God is for me. God is in me. I believe I can rise above this thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, the natural man can't receive anything, or is unable, rather, to receive anything from the Spirit of God. The natural man is unable to receive anything from the Spirit of God. The natural man, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the natural man cannot see how God, through giving, is going to bring increase. Amen. The natural man or the natural mind will stop you from seeing what God has for you. You know, I've heard a lot of different people teach on carnal thinking. I remember, you know, being in a Bible school one day and the professor there was teaching that, you know, back in the beaches in Australia, they're a little bit different than Virginia Beach. They're a lot more, well, let's just say they don't wear as much clothes. And so, you know, you go to the beaches in Australia and, you know, it's very normal to see topless bathing. And so you kind of grow up in that culture and that's really all you know. And I remember sitting there one time and this guy was talking about how that women ought not to, you know, wear, do anything that reveals skin in any part of their body. And I'm sitting there going, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah. And he was talking about that. And he goes, you know, we need to get back to the Victorian era where people wore more clothes. And I kind of stuck my hand up and said, Professor, I understand you say that we should get back to the Victorian era because women wore more clothes, but do you understand there was just as much sin in the Victorian era as there is today? It's just that they wore more clothes. And he said, well, if, I just want you to know, if you go to a beach and, you know, you see a woman and you don't have a lustful thought, he goes, if you have a lustful thought, you're lustful. And if you don't have a lustful thought, it's because your conscience is so seared, you don't even have a conscience anymore. And I thought, well, darned if I do and darned if I don't. May as well do. See, I believe the Bible teaches us we got to learn how to manage those things. We got to learn how to renew our mind. We got to learn how to, you know, and to me, here's the, you know, so carnal thinking for most people is just that. Let's just put on more clothes and cover it up. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do in the garden. They tried to cover their nakedness. We've been doing it ever since. This is not a message promoting topless bathing, by the way. Okay, you understand that? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is this, that carnal mindedness is not just having lustful thoughts. Because that's what a lot of people think. You know, kind of give yourself a hall pass. Well, I'm not carnal. I don't have carnal thinking. I'm not struggling in that area of my life. But the best definition of carnal thinking is this. Carnal mindedness is to bring your thinking back to the level of your humanity. See, God says 2 + 2 = whatever he says it equals. But the natural mind says, no, 2 + 2 = 4. And there's this pragmatic thing that we can actually miss God. The carnal mind is to bring your thing. See, God says, you know, by your stripes, I'm healed. The carnal mind will say, well, the doctor says there is no healing for me, so I'm just going to die. That's carnal thinking. No. We bring our thoughts up to the Word of God. We don't bring all of our faith down to the level of our experience. We bring our experience up to the level of what we're believing God for. And our experience is found right here in the Word of God. Here are God's thoughts, and I'm bringing my thoughts up to the level of His thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher. So we bring all of our thinking, all of our thoughts up to the level of the Word of God. It's not that you can't know the thoughts of God. It's not that you can't know the mind of God, but you've got to make sure you don't bring your thinking back to the level of your humanity. Come on, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind for the Word of God. But the natural man, the natural mind, can't receive anything. They don't even understand it. Number 5, an overcoming spirit is able to be led. I feel like that's not the best definition, but it's the best one I've got for now. An overcoming spirit is able to be led. What am I trying to say? Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 16. Is this helping anybody? An overcoming spirit, that we don't just give in to life's challenges and life's situations. You know, we're an overcoming spirit where we've got the ability to rise above in the name of Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I love that. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I'm impressed with somebody who works out. Man, I am. I'm impressed with someone who's in good shape. And so we ought to be. There is something impressive about a person that keeps themselves in shape. You have me here? Joe Riddle is a good example right there. I mean, the guy is just in shape. And I'm impressed with that. And I think every one of us ought to be inspired to take care of the bodies that God gave us, to do the best. Come on, someone say amen. It's gotten very quiet all of a sudden. And so I'm impressed with that. But the Bible says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. The strongest man in all the world is not as strong as a man who is slow to anger. The ability, in other words, to lead your emotions. In other words, I want to put it this way, the ability to lead your spirit. Look at what the Bible says, the very next verse. It says, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. You lose your cool because you're too weak. He who rules his spirit. I read this verse as a very young Christian. And I'm saying, Lord, that verse is compelling and challenging beyond words. I want to be somebody who's got the ability to lead my spirit. I don't want circumstances determining everything of how I feel and how I react. I want to have the ability to be slow to anger. I want to have the ability to be slow to speak. I want to have the ability to rule my spirit, to exercise leadership over my spirit. You ever seen somebody do something in a fit of rage and they say, I just couldn't help it? Something just overcame me. And it's almost like there's a justification and almost permission and an excuse for a meltdown. You with me here? Well, the Bible says you can be better than that. The Bible says you don't have to give out in a fit of rage. The Bible says you actually, if you're able to rule your spirit, you're better than someone who can take a city. You're a real warrior. You're a strong person. You've got the ability to exercise leadership, and I call it self-leadership. The ability to lead yourself. It's something I'm really big on. It's something I'm really strong on, because that was a foundational verse that the Lord actually put in my life to make sure. To me, I mean, I know I get on this, and I still do, and I don't care. I'm going to keep. I just stay on this subject about the ability to lead yourself, and that starts with leading yourself physically, but it also means, I think, in leading your emotions. Well, I just can't help it. I mean, look at my life and look at my background and look where all I came from. I just can't help being the way I am. No, you can. You can lead your spirit. You can be stronger than someone who takes the city. You know, our kids, you know, and again, this is a politically correct environment, culture and generation. But I make no apologies for saying that we, as we raised our kids, disciplined our kids. I'm not into child abuse. I'm not into spanking your kids for the sake of you just being mad. But I think the Bible does say, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I think that it's not the only means of correction. There are other things that you could and should do. And you should never, ever discipline a child if you're angry. Amen. Because that's going to, you're going to take that out on them and that'd be wrong. But, and all three of our kids have been spanked on occasions. And the one that needed the most spanking just happens to be sitting here this morning in our Sunday morning 11 a.m. service, and his name shall remain Josh Kelly. He's got a strong spirit. He does. He's got a strong spirit. And one thing I never wanted to do was crush his spirit, because the Bible says a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit literally makes you sick. I don't have time to talk about dry bones and how unhealthy dry bones is, how that can physically cause manifestation of illness to come into your body, and it all starts with a broken spirit. I didn't want to crush his spirit. I wanted him to learn how to lead even his own spirit when life things happened. And there were occasions, not a lot of them, but there were occasions where he was spanked, and I remember Josh, that's long enough now, get over it. And he's being sulky, he's being moody, and we go on to the next thing, and he was just taking all of that with him. And I said, Josh, I'm gonna have to help you here, buddy. I need you to actually have the ability to lead your own spirit and to decide what your own emotions are, and you're gonna make a decision right now to be happy, and I want you to show me happy by putting a smile on your face. And you should have seen some of the pathetic attempts of a smile through the tears and through the anger. And once or twice it got quite stubborn. And you know, there was one or two occasions where he was even, if you like, spanked again until he actually brought a smile to his face. And I mean once or twice now. I'm not talking like this happened all the time. And, you know, at the time, he didn't like any of it, but he's learned something, haven't you, Josh? About the ability to lead your spirit. You don't want to be that legalistic person. Show me happy! Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be that person that uses this as the everyday form of discipline, but you want to teach a child how to lead themselves. Frankly, there are some grown-ups, I feel like saying, show me happy. Have the ability to lead and rule your own. Don't be moping and moaning and groaning and whining and carrying something that happened all that time ago. Come on, it happened, but get up again. Move forwards in the name of Jesus. Have the ability. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that you were taught to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which is grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and to be made new and to be renewed in the attitude of your mind. You see, I believe you can sit in church for many years but never renew your mind. I mean, how would you describe your spirit? Would you say it's small or would you say it's large? Is it a generous spirit or is it a surviving spirit? Is it a loving spirit or is it a self-centered spirit? Jesus said we often don't know what spirit we are of. Jesus said that. These people don't know what spirit they're of. What spirit are you of? Do you have a large spirit? Do you have a spirit that forgives? Do you have a spirit that overcomes? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Yeah. Amen. Now you go and you do what I've called you. You've been given an overcoming spirit. The very fact that you're a Christian means you're an overcomer. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. But God reveals those things to us through His Spirit. Come on. You've got the spirit of a man sustains him. It'll keep you strong. Give the ability to rise above it. What spirit are you of? Do you have a spirit that's large and forgiving? Do you have a spirit that just gets over things? Or do you have a spirit that just stays under things? What spirit are you of? Is it a generous spirit? Or is it a small, shrinking? You know, if little things are starting to bother you, it's a sign your world's shrinking. I don't want Wave Church to be a spirit that's shrinking. I don't want you to be somebody who just carries hurt and accumulates offenses and just, you know, just keeps letting life just take something out of you. Have a big spirit. I'm a Costa Dia, a great, great preacher from years and years ago. Probably most of you would not have heard of him. A few of you may have. And Costa Dia said something that I found the most challenging thing I think I've ever heard. And if I can get the stage forward, Costa didn't say that, but I just said that. If I can get the stage forward, I'd love to get down off this big stage and come down. Praise the Lord. See, now they're so scared to let that stage out after what happened a few weeks ago that instruction's got to go to her, and then she's got to give it to them, and then he's got to unpull the safety plug, and there it is. Thank God for this great team that works behind the scenes. And he said something that I thought was absolutely powerful. Singers, musicians, I'm going to get you to come back as well. He said something. He goes, if your relationship with Christ is right, then your relationship with everybody else will be right as well. And I got to tell you, I took exception to that. I kind of went, what? Because I wanted to have reason and justification why I didn't forgive certain people. I wanted room in my life to carry some hurts and offenses, but and it had nothing to do with my relationship with Christ. It was to do with them. But he said, if your relationship with Christ is right, and he quoted this verse, as we behold him, we shall become like him. The more you behold him, the more Christ-like you become. So stop beholding an offense. Stop beholding a person. If you behold Christ, you become like him. And Christ prayed for those who crucified him and says, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Which is what I said the last 2 days for grace over the food that I should not have eaten. And I said, Lord, forgive me for I do know what I'm doing, but Sharon's not here and it's okay. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, can I just encourage you, as you behold Jesus, you become more like him. See, listen to this thought. You become what you behold. And if you keep looking at that person that hurt you and that person that give you reason to have ill feeling, it's only going to make your spirit shrink. It's only going to make your spirit shrivel up. It's going to give you a spirit that'll be crushed, and a broken spirit drieth the bones. What are you beholding?
he told this story. I spoke to Costa and I said, Costa, I'm struggling, man. That's really hard for me. I have some baggage. I got some history. I have alcoholic parents. We grew up in a pretty unfortunate kind of life. I kind of like the idea of giving myself a bit of a hall pass on a few of these things. I'd love to be able to look outside the window rather than look in the mirror and blame for things outside of me rather than inside of me. I started with the good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. And he told me a story about things that happened to him. One particular guy that targeted him as a character assassination in ministry. For this other minister was threatened by the success and the magnitude of Costa Dia. And this guy went so out of his way to destroy the reputation of Costa Dia, a godly man. And he said, he told me things that I would never repeat publicly, things that should never have happened about this man that went out of his way. He goes, now, Steve, let me tell you something. That man, 10, 15 years later, finally, the Lord just said, and he said, Lord, I give it to you. You judge it. He says, don't defend and don't try and explain. Just give it to the Lord. He taught me something all those years ago. It's something I'm well known for. He said, take the high road. Take the high road. Don't defend. Don't explain. Let the Lord judge it. And so the things he told me, I was in shock. I didn't believe those sorts of things could even happen. And he goes, this guy finally came to him 10, 15 years later and says, please forgive me. Oh, my brother, please forgive me. The Lord has shown me at the evil that I put had in my heart towards you. And he had tears in his eyes. I must please forgive me. And Costa was just able to look at him and say, it's okay. I've already forgiven you. You're already forgiven. It wasn't like in that moment, well, it's about time. It's, man, I haven't carried that for 15 years. You have, but I haven't. He goes, I must have hurt you so bad. And when he told me what this guy did, I said, man, that must have hurt you. He says, I looked at him and he had tears in his eyes all over again. And he goes, brother, you can't hurt me. I love you too much. That's the most compelling thing I've ever heard. And I want to encourage everybody here. What spirit are you of? Do you have an overcoming spirit? And now you're thinking, well, if I forgive them, it's giving permission to say what they did was okay. No, no, no. That forgiveness is a gift for you. It's not for them. You need to forgive them. Well, I'm over it. Well, let's just mention the person's name and see how over it you are. Let's just bring that story up again and see how over it you are. There are times when I wished I'd never met Costa Dia, for the challenge of that man's life has spoken to me many times over the decades of my life in ministry. But I'm so glad I met him, because I want to be a person, the good man, out of the good treasure in his heart, brings forth good things. No perfect thing. No, please. No perfect person. There is no perfect person. People say, church is full of hypocrites. I go, mm-hmm, and there's room for you. Amen. But we want to be genuine and we want to be authentic. What spirit are you of? Let's have a large spirit. Let's have an overcoming spirit. Let's have a faith-filled spirit. I mean, here we are in Wave Church. Look at these triangles. They're starting to frustrate me. I want a spirit that overcomes. I want a spirit that keeps pushing back. We're not staying where we are. We're going to keep on growing. We're not going to shrink. It's not us four no more. You need to own those seats. You need to say, Lord, they're not going to be empty much longer. We're pushing. We're going. We're going to keep on increasing. Come on. What spirit are you of? Well, who cares about the triangles? All I care about are my kids being ministered to. Am I going to get the seat I want? Am I going to park in the parking lot I want to park in? No, no. Come on. You got to know what spirit you're of. You got to own this thing. Heaven and hell, life and death, the kingdom, darkness and demons and light and angels, Jesus and Lucifer, God and Satan. It is. I'm just going to church. What's all that about? No, no, no. We are a part of the church, which is the hope of the world. And we're a spirit that says, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on growing. We're a spirit of it. We're not shrinking. We're going to push. You're either up or you're getting up. If you get knocked down, you're getting back up again. You're not giving in. You're not backing down. You're not just whining. You're not on the roadside. You're on the highway. You're moving. You're going. I'm up.
or I'm getting up. Come on. I'm not giving up. I'm not in depression. Greater is He that's in me.